And we're usually quite busy, spinning out and obsessed a lot with what's next. Any of you relate to that? Or we're kind of cleaning up what went before and often overlook the peace and ease that is available. Actually, as any moment, as I was mentioning last night, as any moment that we are noticing. I told the story last night, and since there are so few of you who were here last night, I was last week I was sitting with my daughter, 13-year-old daughter, at the breakfast table, and she's really in the full bloom of 13-year-old, which means she doesn't listen. She mostly wants to hide out in her room. My mother said that my sister went into her room at 13 and came out at 18. And my daughter is starting to exhibit those characteristics. But every now and then, I'll slip in a few words. And I don't usually do a lot of teaching for her. I just kind of hang out with her. And she doesn't want a teacher for a dad. She's humble pie. Anyway, I was sitting with her at breakfast and I just was struck by just a moment of noticing myself and noticing the food in front of me. And so I invited her to notice the food and notice the scene in the room, notice the sounds that are heard. There were some birds chirping. Spring has come. And I was struck by the fact that, and I described to her that notice how the noticing itself, that in you which is noticing, is always peaceful. That noticing is quiet, it's peaceful, it's non-reactive. And I elaborated a little bit. I said, you know, that peace is what we're usually looking for elsewhere. And you could say it exists or it is the very nature of the mind that is knowing, that's noticing. It's peace. And I also shared last night Thich Nhat Hanh's beautiful poem, or at least a portion of his poem, where he said, "You who are the richest person on earth who've been going around begging for a living, stop being the destitute child, come home. Reclaim your heritage." So this is an opportunity to recover the natural peace and ease that is our natural state of a much greater sense of freedom. And why freedom? Because there's a sense of freedom when our mind is not bound in reactivity. Our mind is not bound in holding out for what's next or holding on to things that came before. Our mind is free and open in any moment that we are simply present with the way things are. So I invite you to, even as we begin today, kind of notice the way things are. Notice that you're in this room. Notice that your past is past. Notice that your future is just an idea, it's unborn, and that you're here. And notice that you're noticing. And noticing that noticing is very quiet. And it's free. It's uncaused. It's your natural state. Because, you know, of course, if I ask you to stop noticing, what happens? Stop noticing. So we have this jewels of awareness, our natural state, yet this sometimes called vidya, or primordial awareness, or natural awareness, or intrinsic freedom, it often falls into, we often lose track of it, and we fall into what the Buddha called avidya, or ignorance. Somehow that natural openness gets co-opted by this idea of ourselves that plays in our mind, and everything gets wrapped around what we call the identity view, and the identity view is all wrapped up in trying to get from point A to point B, solve the conflicts of our life and the world. And once we become preoccupied with that, we become a little bit disembodied, mostly living in a kind of mental world, the world that we see through our thoughts. And we lose the simple reality of that our life is, at least, you know, we have our life situation, but our life in its most immediate sense is just seeing and hearing and smelling and tasting and feeling and thinking. And that's all. And, of course, that's not all. But if we lose sight of that simplicity, it's very hard to find relief, because there's no relief in the spinning of our thoughts. There's no relief in planning and remembering. The only seemingly relief is when we wake up to where we are, to that quiet, aware presence that is always there, always already, but is easily overlooked. So the invitation to meditation is the rare, it's answering that invitation is the rare choice to exploit that capacity to be aware and peaceful and free, and exploit it by practicing it, getting used to it, enjoying it. The byproduct of that, as we all know, is we don't quiet our mind. If you try to quiet your mind, it usually means you're bothered by it. What we do is we notice whatever's here. And the byproduct of meeting our experience with that non-reactive awareness, which awareness is by its nature non-reactive, the effect of that is that the reactive mind is replaced by the open mind, the open attention. And without reactivity meeting our experience moment by moment, we tend to start to relax. And when we relax, the tight fist of wanting things to be different than the way they are, we start to experience peace. The effect of that peace is that our minds feel quieter. So don't try to quiet your mind today. You promise? Just notice. Just notice that you're noticing, and then all the instructions, which are really just descriptions of what you will notice. They're not prescriptions. You should notice this, you should notice this, you should not. There are descriptions of what you'll notice anyway, but I offer them in a gradual way so that you don't feel overwhelmed by the, so that you can give a little bit of selective attention to certain experiences in, you know, in small doses until, as the days go on, the instructions will be expanded to include anything that can be known. Anything that you can notice. But the key ingredient, the invitation to meditation, is the invitation to get used to this natural aware presence, sometimes called mindfulness, sometimes called lucid awareness, sometimes called a state of being lucidly aware. So it's not something you do, it's something that you are naturally. This all making sense, or? enough words. Thought that I would, as a little invocation, I thought I would read a beautiful invitation quote from Shantideva. And I think this is maybe especially resonant for people who have done some practice and they've started to notice, or over the years notice, the fruits of meditation. And for those of you who are new to practice, how many of you are new to meditation or insight meditation? No one in the room. Oh, one person. Great. Welcome. User friendly. Anyway, for everyone, from Shantideva, The Miracle of Awakening. As a blind man feels when he finds a pearl in a dustbin, so am I amazed by the miracle of awakening rising in my consciousness. It is the nectar of immortality that delivers us from death, the treasure that lifts us above poverty into the wealth of giving to life. The tree that gives shade to us when we roam about scorched by life, the bridge that takes us across the stormy river of life, the cool moon of compassion that calms our mind when it is agitated, the sun that dispels darkness, the butter made from the milk of kindness by churning it with the Dharma. It is a feast of joy to which all are invited. So may you all enjoy the feast of the Dharma. A few rituals that I think will support your practice today and through the retreat. One, just to agree to be together in harmony, to commit to not causing ourselves or each other any harm. So no killing today. Respecting each other's property, no stealing. Respecting each other's solitude, so no flirting. Just giving each other the gift of aloneness. Commitment to practice noble silence. Again, another gift of giving each other the gift of solitude. Of course, appreciating the sense of togetherness, but that unique opportunity to be alone together. And feel that lifting power of practicing with other people, but still respecting each other's silence. And agreeing not to take any intoxicants, recreational drugs, alcohol, over the course of the retreat, so that we express our clarity of mind and openness of heart without a sense of intoxication that is unconditional, that's not dependent on taking anything. That we discover as the natural state of our own mind. And so that means renouncing the number one intoxicant of our time, at least while we're here on the property, and that's the cell phone. Now I have some readings on my cell phone that I might call upon. But like Nassim, I'm on airport mode. So everyone agree to be together with a commitment to non-harming and clarity of mind, openness of heart, okay? And then last, just the ritual that reminds us that we're connected to an old age tradition, not a new age thing, not just modern West Coast Victoria 2017, but something that's been done for thousands of years. And that is the to join in that stream of people who have gone to the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha for refuge. And a reminder also that the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha it's also a reminder that we are trying to find within ourselves, with each other, a reliable refuge, a place that we can rely on, a place of stability, a place of peace, and that we are going, instead of to the shopping mall or to our phone or to intoxicants for refuge, we're going to the Buddha, Buddha means awake, to the wakefulness that lives within us and that capacity to awaken. So you don't need to look for anything but this. As Ryokan said, Buddha is your mind, and the way goes nowhere. Don't look for anything but this. If you point your cart north when you want to go south, how will you ever arrive? So Buddha, Dharma. Dharma, in the most immediate sense, is whatever it is that the Buddha is knowing, whatever you're noticing, even now as you sit here. And Buddha is nature, Dharma is nature. It's in some ways it's back to nature, back to our direct experience of ourselves, which is nature unfolding. We are in a creative expression of nature. Dharma is also the teachings. We rely on the support of the teachings to allow us to look carefully at our life experience, moment by moment, and be inspired by the capacity that we have to develop a non-harming, awakened, wise awareness. So we go to the Dharma for refuge, we go to the Buddha for refuge, and we go to each other for refuge, a Sangha. And we remember that we are here because of the Arya Sangha, the Sangha of Awakening, that has heart-to-heart, mind-to-mind carried these teachings as a living transmission for 2,700 years. So the Sangha is you, and the Sangha is beginningless, you could say, almost. And we're part of that stream, and to take advantage of that current of awakening. And feel free to join in. So let's chant the refuges. I think you've all acknowledged the willingness to abide by the training guidelines, the precepts, non-harming. But I think we'll have a little chant and then we'll sit. I'll do a brief introduction, and then, since there are so many veterans here, we'll just don't need to do a call and response. We'll just do the refuges together. Han tamayam buddharatana satinayan jakaroma se. Together. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sangham saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sangham saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sangham saranang gacchami.